So that's really amazing that she can, and she gets around on her own. She's doing very well. So we know God is able.
Yes.
Amen. I just pray that should I make it that long, or should Jesus tarry, that I should be in such condition. But she gets along beautifully. It's amazing to me, really. So in either case, pray for my Aunt Jenny. That's who she is. And she's all right. She's always been there at my side whenever I had a need to have some good counsel from somebody. Amen. So today we have a word from the Lord. I'm going to use for a topic here, and you'll understand this after we read the text. Confidence caused by coinciding consciousness. That almost sounds like a psychology lab understanding. And you're going to understand why this is a spiritual lesson.
Yeah.
Confidence caused by coinciding consciousness. We'll talk about that. Now, don't let that freak you out. You'll probably say, well, I got a book named that somewhere I threw away from Psychology 101. But we're going to give it to you from God 101, the Bible.
Amen.
Confidence caused by coinciding consciousness. Okay, we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's read a few verses from God's Word. Why don't you stand up, stretch your legs a little, and read with me from the book of Ezekiel. Now, you all know, I've told you before, I openly confess that Ezekiel is one of the deepest, most heavy books in all of the Scripture. Sometimes you read it and you come away going, boy, I don't know if I really am fully with that, because Ezekiel is a powerful prophet. He's one of the guys who is a prophet and also a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a post-exilic prophet. In other words, he wrote after the exile, when Israel had been exiled because of their disobedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in that category of post-exilic, in other words, after the exile. Okay, he wrote these words. I just sampled a little bit. And pray for me and yourself. I don't know how deep you are into the book of Ezekiel. Any of you? Ezekiel, we always hear about highlight points in the book of Ezekiel, but we seldom ever get into the crux of the book, and there's a lot of powerful stuff in Ezekiel's writings. Amen. And so we're going to just sample a few of them today. And then in the New Testament, we're going to be looking in Paul's second letter that is on record in the Corinthians, to the Corinthians, in chapter number 10. Just a few verses. So read with me just a little bit here as you stretch your legs and get your ears open.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 11:2. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, it is not near, let us build houses. This city is a cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Amen. We have read selected verses from the 11th of Ezekiel. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the Old Covenant. Now read with me, if you would, from 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10, from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And as I said, we have a subject that we want to use today. Confidence caused by coinciding consciousness. Now, that might sound like a big mouthful. I said, Lord, is that really what you want me to call this? And Lord's voice said, yes. And the reason is because what I want you to understand, the writer to the Hebrews, those of you who are Bible scholars, you know, and some of you even early in the faith, you may understand, Hebrews 11 gives us a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so faith, basically, Paul says, later on, let's just not go too quicker. Later on, the writer to the Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who believe, who come to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See, so we're talking about the realm of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says it's by faith, it's by grace that we are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember he said that to the Ephesians?
Right.
He said without faith you cannot please him. That faith is a gift that God gives you.
Yeah.
And faith is the substance of the things hoped for.
Right.
And evidence of the things not seen. And so you could reduce what faith is in the life of a Christian to a term that's a little bit more perhaps palatable. Faith is confidence that God will do what he says.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to do what he said. I'm certain that no matter what the devil does, no matter what's going on in my life personally, no matter how the world is, I'm confident. And Paul said that, didn't he, to the Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. So once God is on your case, now did you, y'all know we talk about caseload and stuff all the time, but once God is on your case, he has selected you and given you faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says faith comes with by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You heard his word, you heard the good message. The church was commissioned to go out into all the world and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You all who are here under the sound of my voice, no matter how you're connecting here today, you heard the message. You heard the good news. God gave his Son. How do we know that? He is the most important person in the world. God gave him a name above every name. How do we know? Because the calendar is telling me, apart from the Bible, it's been 2017 years since Jesus was born. And it's broadcasting all over the planet. The heavens declare the glory of God, the Bible says. Looking at what God made, we know there is a God. But one day you got a specific message from God that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, and that included me, one day I realized, boy, that whosoever, that includes me. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has promised me everlasting life.
Yeah.
Now, usually with a carnal mind, the first place we go when we hear everlasting life is to an amount of time. But really, it's not about time. We've talked about that. We got a definition for eternal life from the book of John in Jesus' high priestly prayer, chapter 17, verse 3, that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is a relationship with the Most High God. Has nothing to do with time. How do we know? Because sinners, when they don't believe God, they're going to go on forever and ever. So that won't be, that's no eternal life. The difference is the people who have believed God, have trusted him, they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life doesn't start when you go in the grave. It starts when you believe God. It starts when you trust in Jesus Christ. So you are in eternal life right now. Because Jesus said, this is life eternal. That they might know thee. And that's where we're at. We're in the process of learning about him. And we're heading toward learning and knowing him even better and even more. See, so this is life eternal. That they may know thee, the only true God, not only him, but also Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So he sent Christ, and the purpose of our mind and our relationship with God is through knowing God and knowing him through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, when you seen me, what? You've seen the Father. So he came to display the glory of the Father to the world. And it was written and recorded in a book we call the Bible. Okay? It had been prophesied from the foundation of the world all the way on up, let's say from the fall of man, clear on up till the coming of Christ. And then it was manifested when Jesus came. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. That's that promises that God made all the way from the fall of man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. See, as the glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the only one that was begotten by the Father. And so all of these things are principal elements of what I would like to call faith. And what they do is they give the believer confidence. You have confidence that God has done what he said. You have confidence that God loves me. That's why he gave his son. And that's why he allowed him to taste death for me. He gave Jesus, and he didn't just say, okay, here's Jesus, and he's going to walk around among you and fix all your problems. Although Jesus did come and show that he had power and authority over every problem that man had.
Every problem.
You know, he was able to give sight to a blind man that had been blind from birth.
Right.
No one had ever did that back then. No one has ever done it yet. Till today.
Right.
See, a lot of times people are blind, we can't do anything about it.
Right.
We can do something about spiritual blindness. We preach the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God opens the eyes of those whom he has called, and they believe.
Amen.
And so preaching is important. But we get confidence the more we understand about God and about his word. And so this is why the Bible says stuff like study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can have more confidence in what God says. Now, what causes this confidence? This is the train of thought that I got on. Well, you know what? God, we start to learn things, and what we call, when we study God himself, we call that theology. Now, and some of y'all say, oh, don't get too technical now. We're not at a seminary. That's true. We're at the church. But theology, that's the study of God. There is a thing called theology proper, which is the study of God himself. That's what they call it, the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. Let's call them, the theologians say, the communicable attributes of God. In other words, there's some stuff about God we can't communicate.
All right.
There's stuff about God I don't have any words to tell you about it. You know about it. How many of you been in a situation and somehow overwhelming peace came to you right in the middle of it? Because you were disturbed. You were tossed to and fro. And all of a sudden you just thought about the goodness of the Lord, and some transient peace came into your life. And you were able to settle down and say, okay, I can handle this. I can go through it, like at a time of turmoil when I was going through. Some stuff I can't tell you about that. Kind of like the dude who asked Louis Armstrong, he called and Satchmo said, man, how do you make that trumpet do that? You know, to do that, he said, brother, if you got the ass, baby, you ain't got it. He said, some stuff I can't explain to you. I can't tell you how that works. That's one of them things. If you got the ass, you ain't got it. That's what he told him. So you ain't got this, buddy. You know, and there's no way to explain it. But stuff that can be explained is what we call communicable attributes of God. Things that can be communicated about God. Things that we can talk about and understand about God. One of those things, and I'm just going to give you one today, and we're almost done. This is why I say this: confidence caused by coinciding consciousness. What does it mean to coincide? That word incident is in there. An incident is just a thing that happened. Sometimes we say, oh, these two things went down, this happened, and that happened. Well, that was just a coincidence that it worked out like that. In other words, it just happened to be that these two things came together at the right time and made this situation be the way it was. We call it a coincidence, right? Because this happened and that happened, and it looks like they were not connected, but it worked out to my benefit. So it was a coincidence, we say. That's what folks without faith say. Folks with faith, they know there is no coincidence, because one of the attributes of God is providence. Providence means God knows about everything going on all around you. He knows about every odd little thing, every tiny detail in the world, not just from believers, but unbelievers. From everything. God knows everything. We call that that he is omniscient. Which means, if we break the word omniscient down, omni means every or all, and science. Omniscience. In other words, he knows all science.
Amen.
We say the sciences is one thing and then religion is another. That's because you're ignorant. That's the reason you say that. God knows everything. He knows all science. The little science, you know, he could put in a thimble. It'd be like dipping in the ocean with a thimble and taking out a little bit. This is how much you know. The rest of that is how much God knows. See, so God is omniscience. He created it all.
Yes, he is.
See, and it is scientific. I don't care what the scientists of our day say.
Yeah.
They make up phony science because they defy the truth of God. But the Bible says God knows everything. There isn't anything that God does not know. So he's omniscience. Why? Because he created science. He made everything be that is, whether seen or unseen, visible or invisible. The very idea to me, this is what blows my mind. I'm not going to get on this one of my favorite soapboxes. I guess I'm going to get on here for a minute. The fact is, you know, look at all the invisible stuff God made. Y'all hear me talk about this all the time. There's so much stuff in this room, we don't even see it, but it's in here. We all believe that it's here.
Yes.
You know, for example, even the heat in the room. You don't see it, but you feel it. There's air in the room because we're all breathing and nobody's falling out. There's all kind of stuff, magnetism. There's stuff going through here, radio waves. And music was in here a minute ago. Did anybody see it? No. So there's a lot of stuff God made that's invisible, and he did that so you could easily embrace things you don't see. We don't even trip on it. We all, yeah, that was music. Yeah, but you didn't see it. It's immaterial. It affected your spirit. It affected your mind. It affected your peace. It affected your joy because we were praising the Lord. And there was praise in the room. Did we see it? No. But we experience all these invisible characteristics about God. So it's not a coincidence. The Bible says, for we know that God works all things together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not only does God work everything together, there are no coincidences. We want to say, oh, that just happened to be. I was in the wrong place. Somebody wrote a song like that at the wrong time. And they talk about all that stuff. No. God knew what was going to be up with you. You see, and he knows what's up with everything. And so there's two sides of that. Either that's going to give you peace. Sometimes it bothers me because some of the stuff I'm doing, I might not do. It's like, well, I sure hope God don't know I'm doing this. Well, he does. He knows you're doing it. He sees you. He sees everything at one time. And that's comforting in one way, but it's scary in another way. Because I know I ain't right all the time. Some of the stuff I think or say. You see, I'm just being truthful. Y'all don't have to say, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about folk over in this other church over here. Across the street. They like that over there. Nobody like that in here. You see, that have thoughts that you go, boy, I sure hope God ain't looking at this one or thinking about. But you know what? God is there. And so, but how do we have a confidence to know that we have a coinciding, now the next word is consciousness. Consciousness is your awareness of the world around you. It's your awareness of who and where you are and how stuff that's going on, how you relate to everything going on in your life. Keep this in mind, the consciousness of God, Paul put it this way, he said in the book of Acts chapter 17, that in him we live and move and have our being. So we exist within the consciousness of God. And God knows every thought that enters my mind, even before I think it. He knows everything you're going through. He knows every struggle. He knows the areas where you have doubt in your life. He also knows the areas that you wish you knew about. He knows your desires, your aspirations. And he knows how to fix you to get you from point A to point B. And he's working everything together for good. Just like Joseph, think about him now just for a minute. He was sold out by his own brothers. And they thinking, well, you know, they weren't thinking about God, were they? Because we're going to scandalize our brother, get you out of here, you little troublemaker. He likes you so much, we'll fix that. And they went and butchered the animal, took his coat of many colors, dipped it in blood, threw him in a hole at first. And they were going to kill him. Some of the other brothers said, stop that, don't go that far. That's too much. And then, but eventually they sold him to a band of Bedouins that were heading down into Egypt. You see what I'm saying? Took the bloody coat to his father and let him go through all that grief. We know that story. But it didn't look like Joseph was getting what he had been promised, did it? Looked like he got a raw end of the deal. Looked like he got the short end of the stick. And he went down in Egypt, but he didn't have a bitter attitude. Because he had a consciousness of what God had implanted in his spirit before any of this happened. He had already told them the dream that he had. See, and it was for a reason. And he held on to that throughout all the trouble and the turmoil that he went through. And the reason is his consciousness was connected to the consciousness of God.
Amen.
That's what we call peace. So that's why when the Bible says Isaiah 26 that he will give you perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him.
That's right.
You lock your mind in on God. Set it on God and leave it. You know, don't let the distractions of your life or the world or any of that stop you from understanding the promises of God.
Yeah.
Lock in on it. He's going to give you perfect peace to abide any trouble that you have to go through. Any disappointment that you have to go through. Any difficult situation in your life. And so this is why we call it, and I wanted to call it, coinciding consciousness. God is there. He's in your thoughts. He wants to be in there deeply. He wants you to keep him in your thoughts. And he is already in your thoughts. So if you abide with him, that's what he said. Didn't Jesus say that? Abide in me and what? I'll abide in you and we will abide in the Father. And if you do that, then he says you're going to bear much fruit. Just by abiding. Keep your mind locked in the truth. So this is what gives you confidence, is the fact that we know God knows everything about us, but he loves us anyway.
Yeah.
Let's pull up some proof here so we can move along. Ezekiel here, the situation is the children of Israel have already been in judgment, taken out of their land because they were disobedient as a nation. And Ezekiel is the prophet after this has happened, one of the prophets in the post-exilic period. Then said he unto me, Son of man, this is God speaking to the prophet. These are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. You'd have to read verse 1, and I didn't want to put all those names in there because I thought it might be difficult for you all to read. But just read, he names, there's 25 people there who were opposing what God said. And I just wanted to say to that, you got folks today in the church that are telling you, oh, everything's going to be all right, blah, blah, blah. They're giving you a bunch of stuff, of good stories about everything, but without looking at the condition that the country is in. Our country is in a pitiful condition.
Yes, it is.
They try to make some big kind of a deal about acceptance, but the church is the most accepting organization on the planet.
Yes, we are.
We're not turning anybody away.
No.
I don't care what you're going through or what you're dealing with or what your lifestyle is. You are accepted if you come in. But you know what? As I say it, y'all hear me say this all the time, God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just like you are. When you have an encounter with the Holy One, he is going to make some adjustments in your life. When you connect with his consciousness and begin to see things the way he sees it, that's why it says stuff like, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When I get into the word of truth, it's going to get in my mind, and it's going to be a mirror, James said. It's going to show me every speck, every little spot, every wrinkle that needs to go. And when I see it, then he said, if you go away, you're like a man that was looking in the mirror and went away not remembering what manner of man he was. He got up, his face was all a mess, he had neither shade, glasses all twisted, and he looked in the mirror and he just went on to work. Well, you look like a fool now. Because you didn't do nothing about all that stuff you saw that wasn't right. You still got a big old grizzly look on your face, your hair all twisted, and you did nothing about it. He uses that as an illustration. See, person look in the mirror, they go, oh my goodness, you know, they start straightening it up, getting stuff right. You know, and I remember the first day, and I'm just going to digress a minute. I saw a lady at church, and she was looking at her cell phone, putting on makeup. I'm going, what is she doing? And she had the thing turned around, was using the phone for a mirror. Up there fixing her face. I said, well, I never seen that before, that the cell phone is now a mirror. So I can fix my face and get all hooked up. So I digress. But in either case, it's amazing. So he said, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, you see what manner of person you are. You know what to do. So God is turning on your mind to see the stuff in you that you need to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say he loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way.
Right.
He keeps putting the mirror in your face.
Amen.
So you can examine yourself. That's what Paul said, right?
Yeah.
Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith.
Or not.
Are you shaping up, getting tuned up the way God says you should be?
Yeah.
Now, that's why I say we accept everybody and anybody. The Lord told us, you catch the fish, I'll clean them. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean them up. So you're welcome here. I want to let everybody know. I don't care what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Come on in. We love you, and we're going to love you as hard as we know how.
Right.
And we're going to teach you the word as passionately and fervently as we know how.
Right.
So these guys were giving bad advice. We're going to teach you how to discern good advice from bad advice.
Uh-huh.
Verse 13, which say, it's not near. They're giving you a different story than what God said.
Exactly.
He says that this is bad information. We got folks on the TV by the thousands today giving bad information.
Right.
Therefore prophesy against them. Verse 4 says, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak thus saith the Lord. In other words, you tell them what I said. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Wow, I know you implicitly, explicitly. I know everything you're thinking. I know how you arrived at that conclusion. I know all about it.
All about it.
So, you know, living transparently before a holy God is some people, that's scary. That's why a lot of people try to eliminate God. Well, there can't be no God. Boy, you know what I was thinking about 10 minutes ago? Oh, Lord, if you know about that, I'm going to be toast. Well, he knows all about it.
Yes.
And he loves you anyway, but that's what scares them about God. And so this is what I want you to get out of this, and we'll wrap this up. Whenever the culture takes a turn against God's word, there will always be people, even among the church people, so-called people of God,
right,
who go with the flow of the fallen culture rather than returning to God's holy and inerrant word and his teachers who stick to the book, who continue to make plain God's counsel on the situation at hand. That's what the real church does. It continues to make plain what God's counsel is on this thing that some people just bend with it and say, oh, we better leave that alone and go ahead and try to include this and blah, blah, blah. And there's going to be a lot of the church who does that. But you need to be with the one telling you what thus said the Lord. Because God knows everything that's going on. And he sets the standard. It's not at man's will because it's popular. We mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Jesus said, broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be who go in thereat. And you know what they say? Oh, I just want to be a part of the herd. And they come in with the herd. And I mentioned this in Sunday school. Then they leave not knowing anything they heard. They don't do nothing or remember nothing they heard. But oh, I'm a part of the herd. So you got to watch out for that. You don't want to be in the big herd and you're not getting fed what you need. So what we need in order to have power over personal sinfulness and every stronghold of the flesh and of the world and the devil is to have our state of consciousness to be in alignment with God's word.
That's it.
I need to know the word. What does God say about a subject?
Yeah.
What did the word say about it? What is God telling me is right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can make the right decision. This will produce in us a means of escape so that we can be victorious in our pursuit of righteousness.
Yeah.
Rather than being in the course of the world, which is against the will of God. That's what we have to be careful about.
Mm-hmm.
So this confidence is caused by a coinciding consciousness with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that only comes by the word, because he said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now look at this. Paul addresses it also to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But we are always in a war. Did you know that?
Always.
You were. That's why people used to write songs like that. Onward Christian soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a war that we're involved in.
I'm on the battlefield.
And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. We can go on and on with those songs. Because there is a war.
Yes, there is.
And you're going to either win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in a war.
Mm-hmm.
Notice this, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some translations say to the destruction of fortresses. That's where you got some hard habit in your life that's hard for you to get rid of. God knows about it. You know about it. So how do we get that thing broke down and tore down so I can now walk free? Knowing that God knows that what I'm doing is right. We all have that. Everyone does. You got some stuff, some fortresses and some strongholds in your life. God knows about it. You know about it. So how do we get past it? How do I break that thing down like Paul says here? That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal means fleshly. But mighty through God to the pulling down or the destruction of strongholds. This is how, verse number 5, casting down imaginations. In other words, put down the things that we imagine that are not good or ungodly. And every high or lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it has to do with that coinciding consciousness. We want to fill our mind with the mind of Christ. That's what he says, though. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, I think it is, says that we have the mind of Christ. Because Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's there to teach you and lead you and guide you to all truth. And as long as we keep him in our mind, we have a coinciding consciousness with God. And this must be our practice of everyday life so that we can cast down, in other words, shoot those things down that the imaginations of the flesh and the world keep bringing, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So in order for the church to become the pure virgin of Christ, which is what Paul was saying, he went on to say that in chapter 11 to the Corinthians, that she must, through the practice of diligent study of the truth, that is God's word, the Bible, and steadfast prayer and meditation therein. Pray and meditate in God's word. That's why David said that you'll be blessed. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water if you meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. That's why God said to Joshua, be of good courage and fear not. Yeah, I know all about you, but be of good courage and fear not. And meditate. Keep the law, the book of this law shall not depart from out of your mouth. Keep on saying what I said. Keep believing what I told you. Keep my consciousness and your consciousness lined up together. Just keep doing it. Yeah, I know you got issues. They're going to fall away one after another. So in order for the church to be that pure virgin of Christ, that she must, through the practice of diligent study of the truth, that's God's word, steadfast prayer, meditation therein, gain confidence, which shall be caused by coinciding consciousness with God, through understanding his way of thinking and being in agreement with it. See, we can't let somebody tell us that there's some other way we can do it. Or we're just going to, what man does a lot of times, and you know it's true, instead of when they have a problem with some behavior, they just say, well, we're going to make it legal. Because we can't get rid of it. So let's just make marijuana legal. You should see the mess in Colorado the way it's going down. It's really a mess. You got folk locked up for drugs in the jail and other folks on the corner selling it to everybody else. Now how is that going to affect the people? Folk doing time because they had a nickel bag 10 years ago. And now it's on the corner being sold everywhere. What kind of a chaos is that going to produce? It's awful. Now you say, well, why don't you let us out? You got everybody on the corner selling it and y'all making millions. Well, you keep doing that and you'll end up with what? Total chaos. Las Vegas. Well, we got to make sure that the disease is getting out of control. Let's just make the prostitutes legal. That way they can just go get into vaccinated and all of that, and then it'll reduce the problem. No, it's gotten worse.
Yes, that's right.
It's gotten worse. Man legalized this stuff rather than to say, this one here, you do this on your, this your own homework. I looked it up, I almost fell over. Around the world, the age of consent. And that has to do with sexual stuff. And I'm going to mention that. I know we got a few kids in the room. But they have started lowering the age of consent. And the lowest age I saw in one nation is 11. 11. And it's come down in the United States from 21 to 18. Some states like Illinois, 17. And then when you read what is that about, it has to do with, it's a sexual thing.
And then you want to know, why do we have so much sexual perversion and different kinds of twistedness going on, and it's getting worse? Because they keep lowering the age of consent before a person's mind is strong enough to make a decision about what's good and what's right. And if you corrupt them early, it'll be hard to get it out of their life. See what I'm saying? So this is a tactic of the devil.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And the world chimes in and says, well, we just need to legalize it then. You see? And they make everything legal so we don't have to feel guilty in our conscience. But we want to coincide, a coinciding consciousness with God.
Amen.
And we get that by staying in His Word. And it doesn't make a difference where you are. God says, come on in. I accept you right now. I love you. I've been waiting on you. And I want to show you how to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And He has always had a people in every culture, no matter how wicked it was, who loved Him and were able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, by their faith. Their faith, like Joseph, he went down there and Pharaoh's wife said, well, you sure look good to me. Look better than this old Pharaoh. This old Pharaoh, I mean, it's, well, who am I thinking of? Not the Pharaoh, what's that? Potiphar, there you go. And he was probably out running folks around, who knows? Joseph said, nope, not with me, honey. Got to go. He did a spin right off that coat and went on out the door. None of that for me. And then she said, oh, he tried to rape me and had it locked up. Look what all he went through, taking a stand for God. So I just want to let you know, God loves you. He knows what you're dealing with. And He still loves you. That's the part that blows me away. He knows all the mess that I'm dealing with.
Yeah, He still does.
And He loves me anyway. So all He said is keep on coming, keep studying, keep learning, keep praying, keep seeking my face, keep meditating in my word. I got the solution for you. I am the solution for you. Amen. Let us stand. Amen. If there's anybody here who has not been saved, our first foremost thing is we want you to know that God loves you. He has accepted you. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Jesus paid the debt. You might ask, how can God put up with me with all of this that He knows all about me? Well, He can, because He gave His Son to show you how much He loves you. And this is what I would do to get you out of sin, to break down the strongholds in your life and have a relationship with you. I go this far, and Jesus was willing to do it, and no one else could. Can't be done by anyone else. He's the only one. And you know what? He did. He's already done it and got out the grave already. So, you know, what I did was perfect. Because you know why? Because death couldn't hold me down. Death has held everybody down that went into it. Only one person got out of it. Everybody else went in it, still in it. Nobody else came out. Now, Jesus called Lazarus out to show you I have authority even over death, even before I go to the grave. See? But, you know, Lazarus had to go back. And there were others He raised from the dead. They said when He got out the grave, the power of the resurrection hit the whole cemetery and bodies were jumping up, folks getting up thanking God and waltzing through the city. But those people had to go back to the grave. But there's coming a time when all of that won't be anymore. And the ones trusting Jesus Christ are going to be the ones who are rejoicing. Amen. And that doesn't make any difference where you start from. You can start right from where you are. He can save you from the guttermost even to the uttermost. Some people up high need to be saved more than the one in the gutter. Some folk who got all that, they think all that is everything. See, but God can save you no matter where you are. He wants to. All you do is believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise You. We bless You. We've heard the gospel that You gave Your only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You raised Him out of the grave and let Him be seen from with the early church, those apostles that You had called to spread this news to the world. And it has come through all these centuries, all the way here to St. Timothy in 2017. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, just like He said. And that no one can come to You except by Him. And so, Father, we ask You to save us of all of our sin. Lord God, cleanse us, wash us, sanctify us, heal us, deliver us, and give us a ready mind, Father, to walk in the truth. Walk by faith and not by sight. Save anyone under the sound of my voice that's inviting You into their life right now personally, O God. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Church, say together, amen. Amen. If you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we give you that opportunity right now. Come right now. Amen. We're looking to put more soldiers in the battle, so to speak. So we'd like to enlist you today. Amen. To come into the army of the Lord. Amen. Because we are here. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what he did. Amen. Brother David and I, we accept you. Amen. Amen. We thank God for everyone. Amen. This is a good time to start.
Amen.
We pray God's grace and blessings on him. Amen. We'll talk with him about baptism. I think we have some others that are in need to be baptized. We want to talk with them too also. So we'd like to set that up sometime soon. Amen. So we are blessed. Is there any other? Are there any others here? Amen. That would like to unite with St. Timothy. Perhaps you're Christian with experience and you are already trusted in the Lord. That's okay. You can come at this time also. Just let the church know that you would like to be a member of the St. Timothy Army. Amen.
Amen.
We are the army of the Lord. We are listening to you right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We do that for anybody, no matter who you are. Amen. Amen. Sister V?
We have Davion McGee.
Davion. Okay.
Davion.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Candidate for baptism. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hey, you know, we have the nucleus of our youth choir right here in the building. Right now. Amen. 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 All right. So we're going to talk with them about baptism and all that. Don't have to do it today, but we will be in touch with you pretty soon, Brother Davion. We accept you into the fold. Amen. And I think seems to me that Jericho needs baptism as well, right? Amen. So we have her, and I think there are a couple others on our list. We'll try to get that together. We'll schedule a baptismal service for sometime soon. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if all minds are clear or otherwise, let us have a closing word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother G to give us the benediction. We hope you got a good word from the message today.
Amen.